In Isaiah chapter 40, you don't have to turn there. But in the book of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, the Lord says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. So in obedience to Him, that's what I hope to do. I hope to comfort me. I hope the Lord will bless us and let us truly enter into worship. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And look at verse 32. It says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. I love the Word of God. I hope we find great comfort this morning remembering Lot's wife. Verse 29 here says, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Remember Lot's wife. Now let's go to our text. That's not our text yet. Let's go to Genesis chapter 19. Now, we all know this story, how God sent two angels to Sodom to deliver Lot and his family from destruction. And in Genesis 19, verse 12 says, and the men, the angels, said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? Son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Lot's son-in-laws were technically a part of his family. But unfortunately, they were not a part of the family of God, because they stayed in the city of destruction. God left them there. Now, verses 15 and 16 are going to tell us that Lot is not any better than they are. Verse 15 says, when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, Lot lingered. God sent two angels to Lot, and Lot knew they were angels sent from God, saying, Lot, get out. Get your family and get out. I'm destroying this city. God is destroying this city. And Lot went and told his son-in-laws. They were not interested. And they said, Lot, you better go right now. And Lot lingered. He wasn't running out of the city for dear life, like the angels told him to do. And his wife wasn't either. But verse 16 says, while he lingered, The men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him. They brought him forth and set him without the city. The Lord being merciful laid hold on him. He wasn't going anywhere. They said, "Get out, get out." And he wasn't going anywhere. And they laid hold on to him and they set him and his family without the city. That's the mercy of God. Verse 17 says, "And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. And thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. Now how comforting is it that this angel said, Lot, I cannot do anything until you're safe. I'm going to destroy this place. You better get out now. But I cannot do anything until you're safe. You cannot be destroyed. That's direct order from God Almighty. You cannot destroy the city until Lot is safe and his family. Verse 23 says, The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city, that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now there's great warning for us in this. Luke 17 said, When the Lord comes back, if you're on your housetop, don't go down and get your stuff. When he comes back, this is it. He said, if you're out in the field and the Lord comes back, don't return back. Let no thing be a greater treasure to us than that pearl of great price. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. That's where your heart will be. Lay not up treasures on this earth. That's our warning. Now, our Lord God has given us all things on this earth richly to enjoy. Everything. But let's hold them and enjoy them with an open hand. It's the Lord who gave, and it's the Lord who takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Everything with an open hand. Our Lord said in Luke 17, Whosoever shall seek to save his life here in this world, whoever will try to gain the whole world, hold on to the whole world, shall lose it in eternity. Save his life here, shall lose it in eternity. But whosoever shall lose his life here, in this world, whoever says everything here is empty, it's just empty. Everything this world has to offer is empty. It's vanity. It's nothing. And Christ is all. The Lord says, His life shall be reserved. Preserved. All of Lot's wife's earthly treasures, all of her earthly treasures were in Sodom. Her home was there. That was her home. Her money was there. Her things were there. Her people were there. She had son-in-laws there. You know she loved those boys. They were probably good boys. She loved those boys. And if I get honest with myself, I understand Lot's wife. If I get honest and I look down deep inside my heart, I understand Lot's wife. She was one of the ones whom God had mercy on and saved from destruction. But she was weak, weak in the flesh. Weak. She was a weak vessel who did not have the ability in her to do the commandment of God. She didn't have it in her. Even after all the goodness and mercy that God showed to her, our text says in Genesis 19:26, but his wife looked back from behind him. Looked back in her heart. Looked back in her mind, thinking about it. Looked back in her will, in her desire. And I believe she turned and actually started running back to Sodom. Verse 26 says, and she became a pillar of salt. Salt. Now that scares me to death. That really scares me to death. Because I am a weak vessel. I'm a weak vessel. Hebrews 11:15 says, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. It says that, doesn't it? If God Almighty leads me to myself, I will run straight back into the city of destruction, just like Lot's wife. I'm no better than she is. Now, where is my comfort in all of that? Where's my comfort in all of that? We began by reading, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Where is my comfort in Genesis 19:26? It has to be there. It has to be there. This one verse is its own paragraph. You see that little P, that backwards P, and then there's a backwards P on 27? This one verse is its own paragraph. It must be there. The whole gospel must be in there. Where is the gospel in verse 26? Where is my good news? Well, let's read it again. It says, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. It doesn't say, and God let her go. He didn't let her run back in. It doesn't say, and she became a pillar of stone, just like her cold, dead, stony heart. It says she became a pillar, head to toe, of salt. Now let's see what our God has to say about salt. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 2. Leviticus chapter 2. And let's look at verse 13. Leviticus 2:13. And every oblation, that's a sacrificial offering, every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings, thou shalt offer salt. First, our Lord said, no sacrifice is going to be accepted without salt. I won't have it. With every offering, you better offer salt. Why? Turn to Numbers 18. Numbers chapter 18. The Lord is speaking to Aaron here. Numbers 18, look at verse 19. It says, all the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. Salt is the representative of God's covenant. Now turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. And look at verse 19. Second Kings 2:19. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not. It's bad. It's evil. And the ground is barren. It's causing our women to miscarry, is what my margin says. And Elisha said, bring me a new cruse and put salt in it. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. The Lord God says, salt brings healing. Salt brings life. And salt brings fruit. He said, I've healed these waters. There's not going to be any more death and no more barren land. I put salt in there. Now turn with me to Ezekiel 43. Ezekiel chapter 43. In verse 23, Ezekiel 43:23 says, when thou hast made an end of cleansing it, thou shalt offer a young bullock without blemish, and a ram out of the flock without blemish, and thou shalt offer them before the Lord, and the priest shall cast salt upon them, and they shall offer them up for a burnt offering unto the Lord. 7 days shalt thou prepare every day a goat for a sin offering. They shall also prepare a young bullock and a ram out of the flock without blemish. 7 days shall they purge the altar and purify it. Salt purges. And salt purifies. Last one. Turn to Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47, look at verse 9. It says, "And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers, the preachers, shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Eneglaim. They shall be a place to spread forth their nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof, and the marshes thereof, shall not be healed. They shall be given to. They shall be overtaken by. They shall be consumed by salt." Just going to cover them over. Salt. Jesus Christ is this salt. No sacrifice will be accepted without Christ. Not just any blood. It must be His blood. There is no covenant without Christ. There can be no agreement between God and man without Jesus Christ. He's the Christ of the covenant. He brings healing in His wings. "And you hath He quickened." He's the giver of life. "It is God which worketh in us both to will and do of His good pleasure." He brings forth much fruit in His people. "He by Himself purged our sins. He purified us. It's His blood which cleanseth us from all sin. He is the one who lifted me out of the deep miry clay that He was about to consume. He's the one who took me out of the dunghill and set me among princes. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. Don't let me go." Lot's wife was a sinner chosen to be saved by God's divine mercy and grace, who was running head first back into sin and death and hell. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, cried, "Salt. You can't go." Covenant. You can't go. Sacrifice. You can't go. She was running, but God cried, "Christ." You cannot be destroyed. It is Christ who died. Jesus Christ was destroyed for you. You can't run back to death. It's not possible. Life is in you. Give me a new cruise and put salt in it. No matter how weak you are, no matter how badly your flesh wants to, if God has had mercy on you and delivered you from destruction, you are preserved. Salt. Preserved with salt. Preserved with Christ. I think that's good news. Now let's close by looking at something in light of this salt. In light of Christ, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, And look at verse 13. Our Lord is speaking, and He says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." If we are His elect, we are the ones whom the covenant is given to. We're the ones whom the blood was shed for. We're the ones whom life has been given to. Healing has been given to. Fruit has been given to. He says, "But if the salt have lost his savor," if we lose the savor of Christ, if we lose the sweet savor of grace, if we just put it on our sign and leave it out there and it's not in here, this sovereign grace, if we lose the savor of peace, if we lose the savor of mercy and the savor of forgiveness, the sweetness of His kindness and His goodness and forgiveness, if we've lost our savor, it's not good. We're good for nothing. We're good for nothing. Our Lord says it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, look at verse 49. He says, "For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt." Salt is good. "But if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will you season it?" He's saying, Christ is in you, and Christ is good. Christ is good. But if we've lost sight of the fact that Christ is in us, if we've lost sight of His character, of who He is, and what He's done, and the fact that He did it for us, oh, so unworthy, and He's so good. And look at everything He went through and everything He did for us. If we've lost sight of the fact that everything we are is by His grace. Not have I gotten, it's what I received. Who are we? Who are we? I'm going to get mad and point my finger and start judging my brethren. Who am I? I was running back to the city of destruction. If we lose our grace, if grace is not on our lips and in our hearts, we've lost our goodness. We've lost our savor. We haven't lost our salt. We haven't lost our salt. We cannot lose our covenant. We cannot lose His blood. But if we've lost our savor, the salt is still salt, even if it doesn't have that savor. Still salt. But the exhortation here in Mark 9, verse 50, the end of it says, "Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another." Because Christ made peace for us, let us make peace with one another at all cost. At all cost, let's make peace. Last one, turn to Colossians chapter 4, and I will close. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4, and look at verse 6. It says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." I fall so short of this. Oh, I say things and I think, why on this earth did I say that? Forgive me, I didn't mean it like that. But my desire is that a person may not leave a conversation with me having a bad taste in their mouth. You know what I mean? Lord, by Thy grace, by Thy work, by Thy goodness, let me be an enhancement to a conversation. So many people have said, if it's not kind, if it's not true, if it's not necessary, don't say it. Right? Just let me be an enhancement to a conversation. Lord, let me be an enhancement to a gathering. Lord, let me be an enhancement to a congregation. Let salt be in me. Have salt in ourselves. For salt's sake, for Christ's sake, salt is good. Christ is good. Oh, give thanks, for He is good. Well, may the Lord bless His Word. Let's stand together and have a word of prayer.